Acts chapter 2, verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, that last verse is exactly the hope and prayer that we have every time that we open your precious word and speak it with your power and your strength, that they would come back and they would ask the question, what shall we do? And then we'll, with the wonderful grace of God and the direction and wisdom of God, we'll be able to say to them, please call upon the Lord Jesus. Be saved. Father, it is such a precious gift that you've given us. Peter here presents from Joel to Psalms, Old Testament words that they all knew for one purpose, and that is that they would recognize and realize that this is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus that you crucified. And you need to trust in him because he is your Savior. He is your Messiah. Father, please, today, just touch our hearts with these precious words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Peter began with Joel back in Joel chapter 2 and was from verse 28 to 32 concerning, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And we know that that was the beginning as the Holy Spirit was upon the apostles and upon Peter, and it was being poured out upon all that were there as the word of God was proclaimed. And Peter started with that, with Joel, when in the 14th verse, Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said, and he began to proclaim these words out of the book of Joel. And then when he told the folks in, you know, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. And so he, each time he quoted the Old Testament scripture from Joel, and then he came and brought it right to home. Listen, folks, this is what we're talking about here. That's who Joel was talking about when the Spirit of God was going to come down. You think we're all drunk. We're not drunk. It's not that time of the day. We are speaking with the Spirit of God and the power of God, and realize that the reason that they questioned this is because they all were speaking with such fluent, the language was every dialect. Whoever was there heard the word of God clearly. And they knew that these men were not educated men. They would not have the ability or the opportunity to know all those dialects and speak them in such power and authority. That's what Peter's saying here. He starts with Joel. He said, that's how I'm speaking with such a power and authority, is because of the Holy Spirit has come as the Comforter. The Lord Jesus had promised the Comforter would come. He is here. We are speaking with his authority. That was in Joel. And now we went to David and begin to speak concerning what we found in the book of Psalms. and we look at Psalms and this precious scripture here that we have been looking at in Psalm 16, and it is wonderful to see as Peter brings this forward, because as we have talked the last couple of weeks, and especially last week, they looked up to David. David was their king. They never questioned that David was a prophet, and a prophet tells of the future. It tells what's going to come to pass. Peter took from the book of Psalms, from the words of David, and brought them forward right to this crowd that was listening. And if you'll notice, every time that our Lord Jesus was tempted, when the devil, after his 40 days of no food and no drink, and he took him to tempt him. And what did the Lord Jesus do? Every time he took from his word and proclaimed his word. And that's what Peter's doing here. Peter's not speaking his own words. He is speaking words from the Old Testament that was prophesied by this prophet David. And we looked last week at this, the Psalms 22, 1, Psalms 22, 18, Psalms 69, 25. And then we looked at Matthew 27:46, Matthew 27:35, and Acts 1:20. Each one of these confirmed what David had prophesied has come true, and that's what Peter's here to prove. This man, Jesus, is exactly who David was talking about. And so all the time, we just keep coming. And then in this 30th verse, the center part of that verse, it says, seeing that he had spake, reading at the verse 30 here, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with him an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. What Peter is doing is taking from the Old Testament scripture and saying, this is the man. This is him. This is the Son of God that came down here and is our Messiah. And so we know that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now, we have a couple of verses of scripture, and that's where we're going to start today, back in the book of Psalms, Psalms 89, verses 3 and 4. So go with me back to Psalms 89, verses 3 and 4. Psalms 89, verses 3 and 4. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Forever is the key. For all generations is the key. And so remember that in that scripture, because he has just made the point. David is dead. David has not bodily resurrected, risen from the dead. And so forever. Now let's look at Psalms 132. Psalms 132. Verse 11. Psalm 132, verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David that he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set up thy throne. Now, as we look at the promises that are given from David and proclaimed there, we need to realize that the Messiah was prophesied, was told that it was going to come out of the loins of David, from the seed of David. And so without question, he has confirmed this, because Jesus was from the loins of David, because Mary was of the line of David. And so without question, they knew this, it was there. So that was another proof that he has given. Now let's go back to 2 Samuel, because I want to read from 2 Samuel something that Nathan said. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning to read with verse 12. And when the days be fulfilled, that thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house of my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Now, that applies to Solomon. That applies to the kings that followed after Solomon, that was in the line of David. But it also, without question, because the established throne forever, forever be there. Established forever, forever, forever. And that is the key, and that's what Peter is bringing forward here to have these folks see. He has established that David is in that grave. He is not moved from that tomb, and he has not risen from that tomb. And you'll confirm that to me this day. And there was no question of all those that were present knew that. And so what he was doing was then going back into the precious book of Psalms, back to David, and said, now this king, your prophet, has told you that he was coming and that kingdom would be established forever. And also, as we look back in these verses of Scripture, we find that my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. They knew that David had. David was still in that grave, and his body had deteriorated just like the rest. And so Peter is bringing that forward and showing that the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so the promises that we see back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we find in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, are the same words that Gabriel told Mary. And so what we're doing is bringing forward the Word of God, and Peter is showing these people, these Jews that questioned, is this the Messiah? Because, you see, remember who they were looking for. They weren't looking for a Savior from their sin. They were looking for a king. And this Jesus did not fill that bill. He didn't come. He came from a lowly carpenter. He didn't raise up to take the Roman rule away from and get rid of it from the Jews so that they would have the freedom. And that's what they were looking for. They had missed that they need a Savior, and this Savior is the very one that the prophet David had spoke of. So that was Peter's whole purpose of bringing us all forwards, and to show them that this king would be raised up, and it would be a forever kingdom, never to end. And so now, as we move to verse 31, he's seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He confirms that. He says, remember, King, our King David, the prophet David, is in that grave. He saw corruption. This Christ didn't, who has been raised from the dead. Verse 32, this Jesus hath raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. And so when we look at that, we see he's seeing this before. I believe that David recognized again that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, showed him the resurrection. I think he saw the living Christ. I think David was able to recognize that he was put in the grave and back out of that grave 3 days later. And so you see, David was not only the king, but he was also a prophet, and God allowed him to see what was to come. And so this not only to see, David not only saw him as king, the Lord Jesus, but I believe he also saw him as the Messiah. And that's the part that the Jews have missed. They were looking for the king. They have missed him as a Messiah. Now, if we would look to Luke chapter 24, verse 44, I think you'll find that the Lord Jesus himself confirms this. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, and this was the Lord Jesus, "These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." So what we have studied back in the Psalms, the Lord Jesus himself confirmed, that was me. That's who we're talking about. Peter gives the facts to the Jews that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was a matter that the Old Testament clearly prophesied. The record is here. Now is coming the point of decision. I have shown you that the prophet David spoke of the Lord Jesus. I have shown you that this Jesus is the one that has completely fulfilled those prophecies. This is the Messiah. Now is when the deciding begins. Will they believe David, their king, their prophet? Because Peter has made the case perfect here. He has made it complete. And so to deny this, to deny that this is not true, is to say that the very scripture that our fathers have listened to and our King David and the prophet, that those words are a lie. Peter's bringing them to a place of decision. And we need to do the same thing. We need to understand that when we listen to the word of God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the word says. That's not what man says. That's what the word of God tells us. The word of God tells us we're sealed by the Holy Spirit and we're eternally his. That's what the word of God says, no matter what man has to say. That's what the word of God tells us. And this is what Peter was bringing forward to these people. He was bringing them scriptures they knew and understood, and he was bringing them from the darkness of the Old Testament that they wasn't seeing that this is the Messiah. And he's brought them from that place all the way to the place of Jesus. He says, here he is. Now, Peter has set out clearly and explained that since the resurrection, it was a matter of the Old Testament prophecy that Peter has presented all the evidence. It's all here. And then it begins down in this verses of Scripture down in verse 32. And Jesus hath... This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. You've all witnessed what the Lord Jesus, that he has raised from the dead. Who does this refer to when he speaks of the witnesses? Not the multitude that was before him, because they all have not witnessed it. But there were 120 that witnessed it in the upper room. And then also we have in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, Paul speaks of a time of 500. Over 500 saw the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus, saw him bodily. And so this trying to downplay his resurrection can't be had, because there were too many there that witnessed it, that saw the resurrected Lord Jesus. And so now there nothing more can be said. We have went from the Spirit of God coming down. We have went to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and his body not seeing corruption and being raised from the dead. We know that the Lord Jesus now is ascended to the right hand of God the Father. That's the next thing that Peter here deals with. Therefore, being at the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. We know, because the Word of God said, when I go home, I'm going to send the Comforter. The Comforter is here. You can see it. You can hear what is happening when we're proclaiming the Word of God. There's no other reason, no other excuse that I can make for the words that I'm proclaiming, because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and all of them were hearing it in their own dialect. If every one of you folks were from a different part of the country, and you couldn't speak to each other because you didn't understand your different languages, you would, if Peter was standing here, you would hear this precious gospel brought out of the book of Psalms for you in your own language perfectly. That's what they heard. That's what they heard. And, you know, I've always wondered, you know, when Peter speaks, how could everybody hear it perfectly? God didn't change Peter's voice. God changed all the ears of those that were listening. He took the Holy Spirit to touch every heart so that they heard the gospel and could take it home with them. Because, again, Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, is one of the festivals that all males in the nation of Israel was to come home to Jerusalem and to offer their sacrifice. That's the reason they were here. That's the reason God chose this time. He chose the time of his crucifixion. Of course, he's the Lamb of God. So his crucifixion had to be at Passover. Then the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost here, was his timing. Then, once again, all Jews were there to show of his resurrection and give the birth of the church. And that's what we have here. And so, not only is our Lord Jesus raised from the dead, but he is at the right hand of God the Father right now. And then he comes and he quotes Psalms 110. And he said, "Lord, my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Now, the word footstool there, we think of our little hassock where we prop our feet up. Now, this footstool, if you'll look it up in the Hebrew or in the Greek here in Acts, why, you'll find it to be a place where you have pressed your feet down upon them. In other words, you're holding them down. It's not something that you put your feet on. It's something that you put your feet down upon, pressed upon, the Scripture says. And so we have that. And if you'll notice that the first Lord is there, the Lord said to my Lord, that is Jehovah God. That's God the Father. That's God Almighty. And said unto my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, sit thou at my right hand. So the invitation from God the Father to God the Son is, come and sit here at my right hand. What's the right hand mean? It means power and it means authority. And at this time he goes from Lord to Christ, because now he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has been given this power. And that is where he is this very day. And he's been there for 2,000 years, seated at the right hand of God the Father. So you see, Peter doesn't stop. And that's Psalms 110. So Peter brings out Joel, and he speaks the words from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. He uses that precious word. He goes to Psalms 16 and speaks the verses from 8 to 11. And then he comes and speaks these verses from Psalms 110. He brings out the Word of God, because what convicts the heart? The Word of God. And so Peter doesn't stand up there and expound upon his experience as a fisherman and all these things. He brings it right home to the Word of God. And then he says, until I make thy foes thy footstool. So you see, you either become a friend of Jesus because you're born again, or you become his enemy and he will destroy you. You've got the choice, one or the other. Therefore, verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. And that word assuredly here is words of strength. It's words confirming that without a doubt, this is truth. This is truth. And so, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, without question, that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Christ and Lord. No question, no assuredly, beyond any doubt, this same Jesus, whom they crucified, had by the power of God been raised from the dead, exalted to God's right hand, and made both Lord and Christ. Lord there means and brings, denotes sovereignty. So clearly, God exalted Jesus to be king, giving him all power. Peter didn't stop from the time the Holy Spirit came down, covered concerning the crucifixion and the resurrection. And you see, he kept coming back and forth because David was in that grave. Now, his soul was in paradise, was at Abraham's bosom in the center of the earth. But his body stayed there, and he's speaking here of a bodily resurrection. How did our Savior ascend back home? Bodily. It wasn't a spirit. Bodily, he went home. And there is the body of the Lord Jesus that these men, these 500 and these 120 that saw here upon this earth, that same body, that same Jesus with them nail-scarred hands, that same Jesus bodily sits at the throne of God in heaven today. That same Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to come and get us. And what a glorious day that will be. And that day has got to be very soon, as everything in this world seems to be coming to pieces. We have the hope. We have we know that Jesus is coming again, and he's going to come and get his church. We're going to meet him in the air. Trump's going to sound. What a day that will be. And then the next event will be, of course, the 7 years of terrible time, tribulation here upon the earth. And then we will come back with him to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. And he will at that time put his feet down upon the enemy and destroy the very enemy. He says when he comes a second time after the rapture for the battle of Armageddon, he got a sword in his mouth. That sword is nothing more than his word. And he's going to proclaim, and all there are going to be slaughtered by him speaking. And he's going to call the birds in, the eagles, and all the fowl of the world is going to come in. And they're going to dine upon kings, and upon princes, and upon presidents, and those that have all denied him as their Savior. That's what's to come. That's what Peter here was preaching. And he covered from one to the other. And our Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. Now, what was the result of this preaching? I'm going to read the first few words of this, and then we'll close. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? That is the conviction of the Holy Spirit after Peter proclaimed the word of God. And that is something that we should desire every time we come together. Every time the Word of God goes across the radio, every time that someone opens up one of the messages on the website, that when that Word is listened to and heard, that they are pricked in their hearts and they have the question, what shall we do? And there's never one message that we've proclaimed that they don't know how to be saved. Because every radio program, every Sunday message, the plan of salvation is given. Come by faith to Jesus. If these precious words aren't good enough for you, there's nothing good enough for you. You're going to spend eternity in hell. Because here's the word. Jesus, whom ye crucified, is both Lord and Christ. And so please come and trust in the Lord Jesus. He is at the right hand of the Father right now. Bodily, he is the only one that is in heaven bodily. And that is our Lord Jesus. What a day. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word and the great result of this message now begins. as they come and they call and they ask, what shall we do? And Father, it seems that that question is not asked often. We don't hear people say, after they've heard the word of God, what shall we do? Father, please, I ask that your Spirit be present every time we come together. I ask that and thank you that he was present this morning, and please come back this afternoon. He has to be present and be here, or we're wasting our time if he's not present this afternoon at the meeting and at supper and at the Bible study tonight. He needs to be present. Where two or more are gathered, you've given us a promise of coming in greater strength and greater power. And so please that you come and be with us. Convict our hearts. Bring us to salvation and bring us down the road of righteousness. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.